Big changes are being flagged to the way unemployed people are helped to find work if Labor wins the coming federal election. The opposition says the current $6 billion job active model isn't working. It claims private service providers are being paid to churn the same person through multiple short-term placements, while the requirement to apply for 20 positions a month is too onerous for some job seekers. Political editor Alison Carabine spoke with the Shadow Minister for Employment Services, Terry Butler.
Terry Butler, welcome to Breakfast.
Hi, Alison. Thanks for having me.
You have written this morning that JobActive is a system which is hardly working well. Where do you see it falling down?
Well, for a start, there was figures at the end of last year that showed that around 5,000 people had got more than one job while in JobActive, which means they'd been churned through the system and the JobActive providers had been paid a fee for placing them in more than one job. So same people, more than one fee of public money going to JobActive providers. I think that churn is a pretty sad thing, particularly when you look at the fact that there are a number of people who've received five, six, seven jobs in a couple of years period, and every time that happens, they're getting a fee is being paid to the job active provider from public money. But more importantly, what I'm really worried about is whether we are getting value for the total of the public spend in relation to job active, because we spend, it's about $6 billion over the next 4 years that we'll spend on the job active program. And the question I think a lot of Australians will be asking themselves is, are we getting value for money? That all of that is, of course, hard-earned taxpayers' dollars, and we want to make sure that it's going into the right place. And for me, that means not just spending the money on having a big privatised welfare compliance arm, but actually having the money spent on labour market programs that help people find work. I don't want to just see them being churned through the welfare system and being constantly going over and over through mutual obligation, through placements, short-term jobs.
Well, with regards to the churn in the system, these payments to job service providers are worth up to about $14,000 per placement. Could some of these services be deliberately pursuing short-term job placements rather than longer-term employment to try and maximise their payments from the taxpayer?
Look, I think people will draw their own conclusions from the fact that there is churn. I haven't seen any evidence of deliberate rorting of the system, but I think there are structural problems. One of the structural problems is that for every frontline worker in a job service provider, they've got a caseload of about 150 unemployed people, and for every single one of those unemployed people, they've got to constantly check that those people are doing the 20 job applications a month and their mutual obligation activities, and for every time they see one of those guys, they've got to tick a box and send it back to Centrelink. So it's a massive administrative burden to manage that, whereas what I think would be a better use of labour market programs' time would be to engage with the local labour market, to engage with industry, to see where the shortages are, to be drawing connections between unemployed people, skills and work readiness. I don't think it tells you a lot about an unemployed person whether they've sent the 20 applications off a month. It doesn't tell you very much at all about what sort of jobs they're looking for, but what the greater impediments might be to their not to getting employed. So, for example, if you're living on Newstart, you're long-term unemployed, you may be homeless. And I've certainly visited job-active providers that have a lot of homeless people on their books. The real impediment to those guys getting a job, first and foremost, is they don't have a secure place to live. And, of course, they have all the secondary issues of nowhere to shower, hygiene problems. You know, they might have sent out 20 job applications in a month, but that's not the real impediment to their so they're getting a job. The real impediment is they need to deal with those underlying causes, get employable, get on their feet. And so if we can look at the way that mutual obligation works, we can make it work better.
You seem to be saying, Terry Butler, that 20 job applications a month is too onerous. What number would Labor settle on?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that in all cases it is too onerous, and I don't think the number is the right question, to be honest. I think the prescriptive nature of the mutual obligation arrangement at the moment just doesn't give us enough information. So for some people, for people who've been out of work for a month, who have a house over there, who have a roof over their head, who have not fled from domestic violence, who don't have an anxiety disorder, who don't have a drug or alcohol addiction or any of the myriad of potential impediments to getting work, 20 applications a month is absolutely fine. What I am saying is that we should stop being so prescriptive about the way that this mutual obligation works and make it more responsive and meaningful so that it actually does help people get a job. I find it very frustrating when I talk to employers in the trucking industry or the hospitality industry or sugar, and they say, in our area, we really need people in our industry. And I say to them, do you ever talk to your local job active providers? And half of them never even heard of them. And you can see how low the level of engagement is with employers by the government's own recently commissioned report, which said that in 2007, 18% of employers were using the job services system. But now in 2018, or recently in 2018, it's dropped down to 4%. The system needs to be designed better so that people don't feel like they're doing things that are not helping them, so that job active providers are spending their time and our money on actually helping people into work, and so that the entire local labour market can be more connected up, more joined up, so that there are connections between skills, work readiness, employers and unemployed people.
So, Terry Butler, does this mean that under Labor, some job seekers may not be required to apply for 20 positions a month? And if that is the case, could that open you up to criticism that you are going soft on welfare, or at least the mutual obligation component of welfare?
Under Labor, there will be mutual obligation, and we will absolutely look at improving mutual obligation to make it work better for everyone and to create less wastage in the system. We don't want to see taxpayers' money being wasted. We don't want to see meaningless information being derived. We do want to see people providing information that is actually useful in helping them get a job. There's no point just having people jump through hoops for the sake of it. That just costs the public purse money. It doesn't get anyone anywhere. I want to see skill shortages reduced, and I want to see people getting into work sooner, and I want to see that work actually stick. They're not coming back and back over and over and over again, and job active providers aren't putting their hand out for another publicly funded fee repeatedly for the same person.
And what kind
so
of support?
We certainly want to take a look at.
What kind of support, Terry Butler, do you have from business for any overhaul of job active?
Well, business, because I want to be very clear. This is about making mutual obligation work better. Businesses say to me that they find it frustrating when they advertise a job and they get a lot of applications that people have clearly just sent through because they have to make they have to tick a box that said that they've sent 20 applications a month. Job search platforms get flooded with applications that people are putting in out because they have to, not because they're actually going to be qualified to get the job that they're applying for. Everyone's life will be better. Small businesses' life will be better. Big businesses' life will be better if they're only getting genuine applications from people who have got a genuine chance at getting a job. And what we will also see if we can look at improving mutual obligation so that people are providing more meaningful information in a more timely way with less hoop jumping through, we'll see job active providers being able to get a better picture of what an individual needs and what the impediments are to them getting work, and at the same time, a lesser overall compliance burden if you take away some of the tick box mentality of this current government.
This system has been in place since the Howard government privatised the old Commonwealth Employment Service. Could Labor revive the CES? Is that one way to stop this tick a box approach which seems to be suffocating the system?
Well, I don't think the problem is the provider. I think that the problem is the government's guidelines in relation to what mutual obligation looks like. The question of which provider is delivering it is almost moot in this case, because we're really talking about what is the government requiring of frontline service providers and of unemployed people. And the government is, for their own reasons, requiring them to do the 20 applications a month and tick the box. I think that system can be improved. I don't think that's really a question about whether it's a public versus private provider. I do think, though, that Australians don't want to see a bunch of public money going into just welfare compliance and keeping people in short-term jobs that don't get them any security and keeping them ultimately on welfare. I think the Australian people want to see public money being spent on genuine labour market programs that help people get into secure work that will give them a decent wage and avoid them having to be in the system in the first place.
Terry Butler, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for yours. Appreciate it.
That's Labor's spokesman for Employment Services and Young Australians, Terry Butler, and she was speaking to our political editor, Alison Carabine.